91.5 WMFO. It is the Lounge Saturdays. What a great way to end the show with an exclusive lounge mix from one and only Cliff West. Cliff! What's up, buddy?
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Hey, this is a blast tonight. I got to do it again.
I know. And we've had so many people check in. Thank you guys for checking on social media. Thank you for calling in. We couldn't get to all the... Hopefully, we got to all the shout-outs, all the requests that came in. Cliff, I know you had a bunch of people checking in, too, as well.
Yeah, I got a ton of people that checked in tonight.
Say hi to some of your friends.
So cool. Hey, Carlene, Stacy, Becky, Christine, Kevin, Rick, Suzanne, Sherman, Deborah, JQ, Jock out in Carolina, Thelma, Karen, Jen, Roxanne, Laura, Scott, Tara, Audrey, Laura, Christine, Lisa, Jody, Tara, Allegra, Sherry, Jody, Chrissy, Glenn, Lisa, Kim, Sharon, Kayla, Jeff, Lisa, Missy, Jana out in California, Bill, Courtney, Joyce, Lauren, Karen, Tina, Tanya, Belinda.
You got them all. That is awesome.
Man, thank you so much, guys. They're all listening. They're having a blast. They all checked in. Love the show.
I can't wait. And, you know, one of these days, we're going to have you spin live in the studio.
Yeah, so absolutely. That's I'd be happy to do it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thanks again for coming out and hanging out.
DJ Cliff West studio here tonight.
You know, how great is that? I want to thank our special guest producer, the one and only Samuel, for hanging out. Thank you. You did great with the public service announcements, buddy. Also on the photos. And Bubbles in the Think Tank with Belinda's
going
to
thank
up.
Belinda for letting us go a couple of minutes over. Thank you so much.
Is the best. So, you know what? Another kick-ass show here. It's the Lounge Saturdays. Danny and I had a great time. I hope you did.
I did indeed.
Awesome.
Always.
So, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Check us out. Share our pages. We love you guys. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. It's the Lounge Saturdays, 91.5 WMFO Boston.
Now at 11:03, according to the WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. Now at 11:06, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's two. Yeah, it's going to be two of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. It's all the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dunk-daring you since 1990, because it's just what we do right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about an hour. So I guess that's, well, let's just call it the midnight 10 hour. It will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days. And now I have to say weeks, because I was already a little behind. And then Ryan didn't get to do his obits last week, so now I'm weeks behind. Speaking of, though, that was a great show that Ryan did last week. Thank you very much to DJ Ryan D from Music Savage for coming in here and filling in and doing such a wonderful episode of Bubbles in the Think Tank last week. I love hearing what other people do with this show. It makes me think I just shouldn't do the show so I can listen to other people do the show. That's not true. But it is fun to do sometimes. So thanks a lot, Ryan. It seemed like everybody out there in the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group had a great time too with it. That's an excellent thing to know. But hey, you're stuck with me now. Me and my I don't know what I'm gonna do ways, because you know, thousands of shows now. Don't make me think I had, please. So I'm highly suggestible. I know that's really nothing new either, but I see a bunch of friends out there in the great big internet world. Of course, fellow listener, Jim, he's been in Thailand this week, seeing him with some elephants. Got another friend that's doing some photography on the African continent this week. So seeing all kinds of craziness from the wilds coming up from that. And I thought, okay, I like elephants. But I don't have enough elephant songs that would make me happy enough to do a Bubbles in the Think Tank episode. I got a lot, but they're not all silly. They're not even silly in the it doesn't have to be funny to be silly way. They just didn't get there for the show. If you ever want to hear my entire elephant collection, that's a different conversation that we can have some other time. But for now, we're going to think about all of those large and quite honorable animals of the jungle. See, I'm thinking about them right now. Let us start with the most topical one of all, the rhinoceros, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Teeth try not to breathe.
kind of game you mean, Renfro?
The elephant joke game. You answer the elephant question.
Renfro, you have met it in Mr. Goodbar.
Why, man? Who are playing it?
Let's go get on then, Renfro.
Okay then, Jackson. Why is it dangerous to walk through the jungle between the hours of 2 and 4 in the afternoon?
Now, Renfro, you know I ain't never been no further than East L.A.
Well, that's when the elephants jump out of trees. You big it up too, Jackson?
Renfro, they are silly.
Well, that's what makes them funny, Jackson. Here's the old side answer.
Okay.
Why do elephants travel in herds?
I don't know.
So they can get their tennis shoes wholesale.
Renfro, you is ignorant.
You try one, Jackson.
Okay. Why do elephants have wrinkled knees?
Maybe they forgot to have their skins pressed.
No, Renfro. It's from bending down shooting marbles.
Here's one for you, Jackson. Why do ducks have webbed feet?
Now, Renfro, we was discussing elephants, not ducks.
Same thing, Jackson. You don't know the answer? So they can stomp out frost fire. How does elephants get their tennis shoes dirty?
From wearing them, man.
Oh, from stomping out burning ducks.
Renfro.
Yeah, Jackson.
Where do these things come from?
For certain, but somebody said the president got them done.
Well, now, why would the president want to do that?
So the elephants would start roosting on the White House roof. I dig these jokes.
Me too. Here's one, Renfro.
Okay, Jackson, go ahead on.
Why does elephants sleep with the feet in the air?
To keep their tennis shoes clean.
No, man, you're all messed up. It's to trip blue jays when they fly by.
Ladies, and welcome to the Shirley Woolsey Show. This is Shirley Woolsey, of course, coming to you daily at 2:30 on your friendly network station. Today, I have a very prominent guest with me, and I would like to present the adventurer, lecturer, and author of the new book, My Friends the Gorillas, Dr. John Butler Rainey. How do you do, Dr. Rainey?
How do you
Rainey?
Do, Miss Woolsey? And thank you so much for your very kind introduction.
Dr. Rainey, could you tell us how many years did you spend in Africa?
Well, all told, it was 14 years. However, my last last book, My Friends the Gorillas, was spent in only 8 years writing, and I lived in Kenya province in the rainforest studying only the large tree ape, the large tree-climbing gorilla.
Oh, I see.
For
well,
8 years.
Yes. Well, did you have assistance with you?
No, I had no assistance. I went in alone. I know that the gorilla is a little shy of the of man, and I didn't want to aggravate the situation by contributing more of the, man smell, you see. So I went in alone and no assistance. Besides that, nobody would go.
Well, what was it like living alone, Dr. Rainey?
Well, it wasn't so bad after the first 3 years, of course, after I got married. I enjoyed it relatively. I lived a rather normal life. I mean, as normal as one can live with a whole bunch of gorillas, you know.
Yes. Well, then you were not alone. You got married.
Yes, married a lovely thing.
Well, then an American girl joined you.
No, an American girl did not join me. I married right there.
Oh, well, then an African girl.
Well, sort of African. I wouldn't call her a voting African.
Well, I don't understand, Dr. Rainey. You
I'm
said
sorry,
you
I
married.
Think I should make myself clear to you and your listeners.
Yes.
I married a gorilla.
You married a gorilla, Dr.
Yes,
Rainey.
I did.
Isn't that interesting?
Fine,
ladies?
Lovely gorilla. A marvelous girl. About 800 pounds now. She is 9 years old. They marry young there, you know. And 6'7", stretched out. Of course, gorillas have notoriously bad posture. She's bent over most of the time.
Well, how did you meet your wife, Doctor?
Oh, Margaret.
Margaret?
Yes, I call her Margaret. I feel, if you're going to be amongst humans, behave as they do.
Yes.
And I call her Margaret in public.
Well, may I call her Margaret?
Certainly. Of course, when we're alone, I just call her Gorilla.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sure that my listeners would be terribly interested to know how one goes about courting a gorilla, Dr.
Well, it's not easy. No, it's difficult. Of course, a courtship over there is quite different from a courtship over here. Over there, if you're courting, a gorilla, you have to do a lot of climbing. Anyway, I was out in the jungle finding myself some eucalyptus leaves to eat. I love eucalyptus leaves. I eat the gorilla food now, of course.
Yes.
And I was looking for a place to bed down. I was tired, and so I was searching for a good limb to sleep on. And I climbed up onto what I thought was a fine limb, and it was twilight.
Oh.
And I noticed, I breathed in this kind of sweet, musky aroma, which gorillas are famous for. And I turned to the left, and I looked into these dark, flashing, black eyes, deep set, under an exceedingly prominent forehead. And we looked at each other, and I guess we just knew.
Oh, and that was Margaret.
It was Margaret. Of course, first, it was only physical attraction, I'm sure. Later on, we developed that kind of spiritual and intellectual relationship that makes a love.
Tell me, how long did you and your wife remain there before
5 years,
coming back?
5 years, and then we left when I finished my book. We left to come to America.
What was your arrival like here?
It was very nice, fun. I came down the gangplank, and they lowered Margaret's crate from a crane onto the dock. And then, of course, we boarded the bus to go to where we were staying.
Oh, the bus. Now, what kind of a bus?
A regular New York City bus.
Oh, I see. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Rainey, how did the people in the bus react?
Oh, they got out. They got out. Mm-hmm.
And what about the driver?
He got out, too. He got out through the emergency exit, as I recall. The others left through windows, doors, they could find.
Yes.
There was one child who escaped through the ventilator hatch, as I recall. And another woman was rather cute. She made a door for herself at the back of the bus. Right through. Went through too quickly to cut herself, thank goodness.
Well, that was quite an experience
so
for them,
I
sitting in there.
Just drove the bus myself.
Oh, I see. Where were you staying?
The Waldorf Astoria.
Lovely
suite, lovely place.
Oh, well, Dr. Rainey, did you have any difficulty getting into the hotel?
We were very fortunate. When we came into register, there was a costume ball going on at the hotel. So they all thought that I was dressed as an African hunter and that Margaret was dressed as a gorilla. And we got first prize. And We certainly did laugh about it when we got into the elevator.
Quite hard.
Oh,
she
a
did.
Thunderous laugh. My goodness. And a great deal of chest thumping, you know. Leaping up and down in the elevator and thumping. It was quite exciting.
Well, how did the elevator man respond?
He got out. He got out, as I recall, between the fourth and fifth floor.
Well, Dr. Rainey, how long did you stay in the hotel?
Till they kicked us out.
Oh, dear.
So we went right from there to our home.
Oh, well, now, where is your home?
Scarsdale.
Oh, I love Scarsdale.
Great gorilla country.
Dr. Rainey, is Margaret a good homemaker?
No, she's a gorilla. Gorillas aren't good homemakers, you know. She has her own room, which I fixed up for her. I have a little bar all the way across the room. My wife is quite a swinger. Excuse the little humor there. And I have a rope with a tire on it for her to play on. I hose down her room every afternoon.
A husband who helps. Mm. Isn't that nice, lady?
Well, I have to, you know. She's a gorilla.
Well, Dr. Rainey, how long do you hope to be staying out there in Scarsdale?
We're leaving right away.
Oh,
well, we're going out to Hollywood to film my book.
Well, do you know where you'll be living out there?
Beverly Hills. Give her a sense of belonging, what with Cheetah and Lassie and the people at Schwab's drugstore. And, of course, she is in the movie.
Oh, she's in the movie. What part is she playing?
A gorilla. She's not the leading lady, you know. She's no Doris Day.
Well, does your wife know what a movie is?
Yes, I showed her a private screening of a Rock Hudson movie.
Oh,
you see.
Well, how did she react to it?
Well, at first, she didn't know. She thought those were people up there. You know, she liked Rock, you know. She went to get him. Her arms went right through the screen. She really has a thing on Rock Hudson, I'm telling you. I'm afraid for her to meet him. She'll kill him.
Well, Dr. Rainey, thank you so much for being on my program today.
Right.
And I want to wish you the very best of luck in Hollywood. Ooh. And as is the custom of my show, I would like to send you a year's supply of Nair, which our listeners know is very satisfactory to Pillatory.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife will be given a 2-week vacation at Elizabeth Arden's beauty retreat, Main Chance.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And last but not least, Lapman Furs Incorporated would like to design for your wife's individual taste a lovely fur coat.
Oh, marvelous. Just marvelous. But could I ask what animal that's going to be?
You
know, it would be a shame if it was a relative. A little joke there.
Yes,
I would like to say thank you, and I would like to thank you in the language of Margaret's people.
Oh, please.
Margaret was here, she would say,
Good day. Well, thank you.
Say Pat Gibbon by the hand, listen to the rhythm of the band, slap him up and down upon the floor. Yeah, tickle his feet and hear him giggle, then unzip him down the middle. Give Pat Gibbon the what he's hollering for. Round the hall, bounce him up and down like a rubber ball, drop him on the floor and trample on his toes. Swing him by the tail from the chandelier, happy with a hamster in his ear, all he needs is a ferret up his nose.
Oh, stop that giving, oh, stop that giving now.
Stop it!
Stuff this run together.
Why, sure.
I think you probably will, yes.
Promenade a gibbon round the hall, bounce him up and down like a rubber ball, drop him on the floor and trample on his skull. Swing him by the tail with a chandelier, happy with a hamster in his ear. All he needs is a ferret off his nose.
You are still in tune with your Freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And we like big animals. There's no reason not to. So why shouldn't I? That's what I say. Although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy and requires no special equipment, and it's good exercise for most adults. Walking can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, and save you money. And with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. It's a public service message from WMFO in Medford. A walk would be lovely. But not now. Because now we're in the middle of bubbles in the think tank. And you could put on your little headphones and you could go out and walk around. The technology is there. You could do it. I can't. You could. Because I have many bubbles in the think tank. Favorites. Yes, favorites. Maybe a classic or two here and there coming up in the rest of the show. But there's plenty more for me to get to. That little bit of a start, late start, we won't be able to catch up. It can't be done. So we're just going to barrel on through as we move into more silliness with one of those Bubbles in the Think Tank favorites. It's the Bonzo Dog Doo-Dot Band right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Hungry tigers, table manners have no place.
Dear, 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 no, dear, 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 no, dear, dear, oh, dear, no.
After they have eaten you, they never say their grace.
Dear, 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 no, dear, 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 no, dear, dear, oh, dear, no.
Hunting tigers can be ripping fun. Like three blind mice see the hunters run.
Hunting tigers out in India. Out in India. Yeah.
You all know how beastly tigers are. Out in
India.
They bite, they scratch, they make an awful fuss. It's no use stroking them and saying puss, puss, puss.
No, hunting tigers out in India. Out in India. Yeah.
They make an awful fuss. It's no use stroking them and saying puss, puss, puss.
No, hunting tigers out in India. Out in India.
Yeah.
I say, J.O., it's jolly frightening out here.
Nonsense, dear boy, you should be like me.
But look at you, you're shaking all over. What's
shaking, you silly goose, I'm just doing what you say, that's all.
Tigers don't go out on rainy nights. Wet their appetites.
Hunting tigers out in India. Out in India.
Yeah.
How many tigers can you find with forks and serviettes?
Dear, 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 no, dear, 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 no, dear, dear, no, dear, no.
Don't care in what part of you they fix their fretwork sets.
Dear, 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 no, dear, 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 no, dear, dear, no, dear, no.
Hunting tigers can be ripping fun. Like three blind mice see the hunters run.
Hunting tigers out in India. Out in India.
Yeah.
Hunting tigers out in India. Out in India.
Hey, what you doing, Chet? Playing your guitar? Is that what you're doing? Sounds good. Hey, Chet, let's us kids get together and make a record. That'd be good. I got a song here. It's not the greatest thing since the lightning rod, but it's kind of cute, you know. There's been a man in Hollywood a long, long time. He lives in the jungle and he swings from a vine. Now he's just
just a man like you and me. The jungle is Hollywood set, you see. He lives in a treehouse and eats wild grapes, and the natives all call him Tarzan of the Apes. In the jungle, in the jungle, early one morning when the sun began to shine, Tarzan left his treehouse swinging from a vine. All of a sudden Jane heard a loud thud, looked out and saw Tarzan lying in the mud, a moaning and a crying, and a sound like he was dying. Found some monkey greased his grapevine. In the jungle, in the jungle, cheetah, he was having troubles of his own. He gone to meet Tarzan and he just left home, swinging through the trees on a bunch of grapevines, hand over hand, and was doing just fine. Then he grabbed a grapevine, slick as glass, zoom, down he come, and he landed in the grass. In the jungle, in the jungle, the moral of the story is sad but true. If you live in the jungle, here's what you gotta do. Trust nobody, take your time, look out front, look out behind. Don't think living's all roses and wine, and don't let some monkey grease your grapevine. In the jungle, in the jungle, you don't really have a finish for this thing, you know, chap? You know what we could do? We could just kind of fade out. I've heard them do that on records a lot of times. You just fade out. In the jungle, in the jungle. Ooh, I like that.
Tonight on Who Cares, we examine the frontiers of surgery, and with us is the international financier and surgeon, Reg LeCrisp, and his most successful patient to date, the elephant, Mr. George Humphreys. Mr. LeCrisp, the surgery on Mr. Humphreys is truly remarkable, but why an elephant?
Well, that was just a stroke of luck, really. An elephant's trunk became available after a road accident, and Mr. Humphreys happened to be walking past the hospital at the time.
And what was Mr. Humphreys' reaction to the transplant of the elephant's organs?
Surprise, at first, then later shock, and deep anger and resentment. But his family were marvellous. They helped pull him through.
How long was he in hospital?
Well, he spent the first 3 weeks in our intensive care unit, and then 8 weeks in the zoo.
I see. Is Mr. Humphreys now able to lead a fairly normal life?
No. Oh, no, no. No, he still has to wash himself in a rather special way. He can only eat buns, and he's not allowed on public transport. But I feel these are very minor problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider the very sophisticated surgery which Mr. Humphreys has undergone. I mean, each of those feet he's got now weighs more than his whole body did before the elephantoplasty, and the tusks and bones.
Some years ago, you were the centre of a controversy, both from your own medical colleagues and from the church, when you grafted a pederast onto an Anglican bishop.
Well, that's the ignorance of the press, if I may say so. We've done thousands of similar operations. It's just that this time there was a bishop involved. I wish I could have more bishops.
Is lack of donors a problem?
There just aren't enough accidents. It's unethical and time-consuming to go out and cause them, so we're having to rely on whatever comes to hand. Chairs, tables, floor cleaning equipment, drying up racks, pieces of pottery, and these do pose almost insurmountable surgical problems. What I'm sitting on, in fact, is one of our more successful attempts. This is Mrs. Dudley. She had little hope of survival. She'd lost interest in life, but along came this very attractive mahogany frame, and now she's a jolly comfortable Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Oh, excuse me.
Jennifer from the jungle.
Oh, we're hopelessly lost.
Listen, kid, never give up hope.
Okay, we're hopefully lost.
See, now, if we only had someone to show us the way.
What was that?
It's a parakeet.
The boy's a soprano.
It's a lady on a string.
It's Jennifer of the jungle.
Hiya, fellas.
Who looks so fine hanging on any vine?
Jennifer of the jungle. Who brings a smile to every Nile crocodile? Jennifer of the jungle.
Who turns December to June?
You have to ask.
who makes me sing in the rain?
Ask any chimp or baboon.
Who would make Tarzan drop chains?
Who is the miss? Pythons refuse to hiss.
I know.
Jennifer of the Jungle. Who is the her who makes every lion purr? Jennifer of the Jungle.
Who makes each oyster rejoice?
That's pretty.
Proudly to you do we point.
Who is Godzilla's first choice?
Who brings such class to this joint? Who gets a plus from each hippopotamus? Jennifer of the Jungle.
Jennifer of the Jungle.
Jennifer of the Jungle. You're a joy.
Aw, you guys.
Fearful symmetry. In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? Deadly terrors clasp. When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night. What immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?
You said you'd be my friend until the bitter end. You said you'd love me too, and I believed in you. You put on quite a show, but baby, now I know you're just a crocodile. I've seen some sweet cupcakes turn into rattlesnakes. I've met some pretty chicks who play some dirty tricks. But let me tell you, child, you beat them by a mile, 'cause you're a crocodile. I know some low-down hills who pull some phony deals. I know old Railroad Mac will stab you in the back. I think some double cross, but baby, you're the boss, 'cause you're a crocodile. We'll be right back.
stand the sight of her and look at microscopic her. Technical effect is really too much for me.
I am not the type to break the picture. I'm a little bright. See it, you know the hate. It's certainly
an awful fright. What a sight. Chase him away, chase him away. I'm afraid. Need your head. You're gonna be long for me.
Tiger, hold the tiger, hold the tiger. Wait till I catch you, meet a Voyez muette pour moi, idole contemplative. Came home and found a lion in my living room, rushed out on the fire escape, screaming, "Lion! Lion!" Two stenographers pulled their brunette hair and banged the window shut. I hurried home to Patterson and stayed 2 days. Called up my old Reichian analyst who'd kicked me out of therapy for smoking marijuana. "It's happened," I panted. "There's a lion in my room." I'm afraid any discussion would have no value. He hung up. I went to my old boyfriend, we got drunk with his girlfriend. I kissed him and announced I had a lion with a mad gleam in my eye. We wound up fighting on the floor. I bit his eyebrow and he kicked me out. I ended masturbating in his Jeep, parked in the street, moaning, "Lion." Found Joey, my novelist friend, and roared at him, "Lion." He looked at me, interested, and read me his spontaneous, igneous, high poetries. I listened for lions. All I heard was elephant, tigon, hippogriff, unicorn, ants. But figured he really understood me when we made it in Ignatz Wisdom's bathroom. But next day he sent me a leaf from his smoky mountain retreat. "I love you, little Bobo, with your delicate golden lions. But there being no self and no bars, therefore the zoo of your dear father hath no lion. You said your mother was mad. Don't expect me to produce the monster for your bridegroom." Confused, dazed, and exalted, bethought me of real lion starved in his stink in Harlem. Opened the door, the room was filled with the bomb blast of his anger. He roaring hungrily at the plaster walls, but nobody could hear him outside through the window. My eye caught the edge of the red neighbor apartment building standing in deafening stillness. We gazed at each other, his implacable yellow eye in the red halo of fur waxed ruby on my own, but he stopped roaring and bared a fang, greeting. I turned my back and cooked broccoli for supper on an iron gas stove, boiled water, and took a hot bath in the old tub under the sink board. He didn't eat me, though I regretted him starving in my presence. Next week, he wasted away, a sick rug full of bones, wheaten hair falling out, enraged and reddening eye as he lay, aching, huge, hairy head on his paws, by the egg crate bookcase filled up with thin volumes of Plato and Buddha. Sat by his side every night, averting my eyes from his hungry, moth-eaten face. Stopped eating myself. He got weaker and roared at night while I had nightmares. Eaten by lion in bookstore on cosmic campus. A lion myself, starved by Professor Kandinsky. Dying in a lion's flop house circus. I woke up mornings, the lion still at it, dying on the floor. Terrible!